The views and opinions expressed during this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of Cox Media Group, Ohio.
This hour is sponsored by Sim Trainer.
This is WHIO's consumer warrior, Clark Howard. Beware scam artists in Dayton. I'll find you out.
This is WHIO meteorologist Kirstie Zantini. If weather breaks this hour, we will break it.
And you're listening to an Ask the Expert weekend on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Welcome to this beautiful sunny Saturday afternoon broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. I'm Jeff Pedro in with Mark Avery, and we're from Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. You can visit us on the web at sim-trainer.com. You can come down to the store, which is located at 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine, or you can give us a call at the range at 937-293-3914, and we'd be more than glad to discuss with you any of your firearms-related needs or interests. If you want to get in on today's show to talk about anything related to guns, please call us here at the studio at 457-1290, and we will get you into the queue, and we'd be more than glad to talk with you. This past week, there were several things that were in the news that are worthy of discussion today. I want to first of all mention that this is National Shooting Sports Month, and with National Shooting Sports Month, we have a lot of activities going on at the range. The whole purpose of the National Shooting Sports Foundation declaring August National Shooting Sports Month last year and now making it an annual event is to get people involved in the shooting sports. Whether it's adults, children, people who are already familiar with firearms, people who are not familiar with firearms, there are many opportunities for you to get involved in the shooting sports. At our range, you can come down, you can take a first shots class. Matter of fact, we just had one this morning. It started at 9 o'clock, went 9 to 12. Our first shots class is designed for people who have had little to no experience with firearms. You come into the range, you get about an hour and a half of instruction on range safety, gun safety, functional operations, safe handling of guns, how to grip it, how to line up the sights, how to pull the trigger. Then you get to go out on the range under the direct supervision of our trained staff and shoot 50 rounds so that they can work on the fundamentals and get you comfortable with guns going off. Handling recoil, reloading, loading, charging, doing all the things you need to do. We use a semi-automatic pistol, a 22 caliber semi-automatic pistol during that class, and it's a great way to get people started. As a follow-up to that, we have basic handgun. Matter of fact, we have basic handgun class that'll be going on tomorrow night. It is only half full. There are still five seats available. Basic handgun is designed for people who might be thinking about buying a gun, but again, don't know a whole lot about it. Or maybe you're thinking about going on and getting your concealed carry license and you're doing the smart thing and you say, before I do that, I want to get a gun. I want to try some guns, buy a gun that's right for me, and then go on and get my concealed carry license, because that's the way that we recommend you do it. So if you're interested in doing that, you can sign up for that class. The great thing about that class is you get to shoot 10 of the most popular guns that are currently on the market. Guns like the Glock 19, the Smith & Wesson M&P Shield, the Ruger LC9S, and a variety of other guns, mainly from Glock, Smith & Wesson, Springfield, Ruger, and Walther. But you get to shoot the most popular guns that are currently on the market relative to people wanting to get their concealed carry license. And again, you get the classroom instruction on all the fundamentals and safety. Then you get to go out on the range and try each of those guns. And then not only that, you get to narrow it down. If you have two that you like, maybe you like the Ruger SR9 compared to the Smith & Wesson M&P Compact or the 2.0 Compact, you can try those side by side to determine which one you're ultimately going to purchase so that you can make a very informed purchase. We have that class again going on tomorrow night. That's Sunday evening from 5 to 9. And during a National Shooting Sports Month, we are offering buy one, get one free. So if you want to go and you have a friend or relative that you want to bring with you, you pay the price for the first registration, and the second person comes free, and you guys can split that up any way that you want. The only additional cost for the basic class is you'll be responsible for buying 100 rounds of ammunition, which will cost you an additional $25. But with the buy one, get one free, it's a great savings. It's a great way for you to come together, and maybe you've been putting it off. But then after you've completed the basic handgun class, then you can go on and take the concealed carry class. That's also being offered throughout August for buy one, get one free. And we're extending the offer throughout the month of August, as long as you register and pay for any first shots class, basic class, or concealed carry class throughout the rest of the year. As long as you sign up and pay in August, you're going to get the buy one, get one free. So even if you can't do it now, this is vacation season. It's time to get back to school. There's lots of things going on. Maybe you say, wow, I'd really like to take advantage of it. My schedule is really busy. That's no problem. We understand that because our schedules are all real busy, and we'll give you the chance to extend that throughout the rest of the year as long as you pay for and register, or register and pay for the class in August, no matter when you take it the rest of the year.
And maybe you're one of those folks who listens to our podcast and is not able to listen to the live show, so you're finding this out after the show is over. Not a problem. And you may not even be in the local area, but you're going to be sometime during the year, and you want to take that class. Call the range, sign up online. You can go out to our website and sign up for the class online, and then call the range to make payment, and you get that same deal. So it's a great way for somebody who's looking to get some additional firearms training to get in there and get that done at half price, basically, two for one.
Speaking of our website, please take your chance to look at our website and make sure you sign up to get our emails, and then also be friends with us on Facebook and share our posts on Facebook, because from about the second week of July through the end of August, everybody who shares our posts is going to be entered into a cyber drawing for a Smith & Wesson M&P pistol. So we're going to, I don't know how that's done. It's done behind the scenes. It's all computer and Mark and Bree. They work all that out. But everybody that shares that goes into a queue. And then at the end, we're going to somehow do a drawing again. I imagine it's going to be with a computer.
It is. It's going to be a digital drawing. It'll be a random, the computer will generate a random number, and somebody will be tagged with that number. And that will be the person who wins. So the more things that you share, the more entries you have, and the better your chances of winning.
And that's been a very productive thing for us, because our shares have gone up tenfold minimum over the last month. So it's a great thing for us, and we hope that it's a great opportunity for you. So,
and it's a great opportunity for all those folks who got information shared with them that otherwise hadn't heard about us.
That's exactly right. And again, our website is loaded with information. If you want to check the dates on the classes that I just talked about, whether it's first shots classes, and we offer at least two of those a month, basic handgun, again, at least two, and concealed carry, three a month, you can check the dates on the calendar and see not only in August, but throughout the rest of the year. As Mark mentioned, it's no big deal. And if you're not listening today and you listen to us on podcast after the fact, you can check out our website and see when all those classes are. You can register online, call into the range subsequent to making your registration, make payment, and you're going to get it to take advantage of that great buy one, get one discount.
But that only runs through the end of August, so you must have your reservations made and paid for by the end of this month in order to get that deal.
In addition, if you want to come down to the range and you want to do a try it before you buy it, for example, we have buy one, get one. So if, again, you've already taken some classes, you already had some training, or you're thinking about buying a gun and for whatever reason you're not going to be able to take any of the training right away, you can come down and you can rent one gun for the price of $10, and then you get the second one free. You have to buy our ammo, so you could buy one box and split it between two, or you could buy two, three, four, five, six. We don't care how many boxes of ammo that you want to shoot. That's up to you. We hope you have a good time and you're safe doing it, but we'll sell you as many boxes of ammo as you want to stay there and shoot. But it's a great opportunity for you to actually try out some guns before you go buy them. And as we've mentioned so many times, and I know Mark has mentioned it and just emphasized it, it is so important that you give some serious thought to trying out guns before you run out and buy them. I will tell you that many of the dealers around here are offering smoking deals on guns. This is a time of year when traffic is traditionally down. People are out doing lots of things outdoors, although I don't know too many people that want to be outdoors today. Get your grass cut early in the morning or late at night, but avoid the hot temperatures unless you're out supporting kids' activities or whatever it is. Make sure you stay hydrated, whatever the case might be.
And today's the last day of the Greene County Fair, so I'll be out there this evening in the conservation booth with the Greene County Fish and Game Association, and we're just doing education, talking about conservation and a lot of the opportunities that are available in the other in the area. So that would be a reason to go outside. It is not an air-conditioned room, but there are fans.
And there are also plenty of tents. And the nice thing is I imagine they have some fresh-squeezed lemonade somewhere.
They do, right across from us.
That's absolutely one of the most wonderful experiences on a hot day like today. So if you have the opportunity to get outside, do so. But make sure you give some thought. If you want to stop by the range, we'll be open till 5 o'clock today. We're open from 1 to 5 tomorrow. Go ahead, visit the website, see if there's something that accommodates your schedule. Come on down and talk with us, and we'd be more than glad to get you situated. No matter what the situation is, whether you're just thinking about shooting recreationally, this is the month to do it because there's lots of freebies. There's lots of incentives to get involved. Matter of fact, I just saw that the National Shooting Sports Foundation sent us hats and t-shirts, and if you go down and you treat myself, my staff nicely, I'm sure that you tell them that you heard this information on the radio and you wanted to sign up for a class and you heard that they had some free t-shirts and or ball caps, they'll be sure to give you one or the other, and you'll be able to walk out of there with a nice National Shooting Sports Month t-shirt or hat. That's what it's all about. We want to spread the word. We want you to spread the word. We want you to get involved. We want to help people get involved. We had a great summer. We had the youth shooting sports camps. We had we competed at the state match and the national match. The kids did a great job. They're going out and telling their friends. Everybody's having a lot of fun, and we want to share that fun with you. So there's so many things you can do at Sim Trainer. I will also remind you that if you're interested beyond firearms, we had such success with our first two emergency trauma first aid classes that we're going to offer another class September 1st. We're going to offer it on the weekend. That's going to be on a Saturday afternoon from 1 to 5. That's a great opportunity for you to get some really vital training on handling gunshot wounds or traumatic injuries. You will walk away from the class with a very functional first aid kit that includes a tourniquet and gauze and scissors and all the things that you would need as a first responder to some critical incidents. For years and years and years, we've done first aid CPR, where we taught people how to render first aid, how to deal with choking victims, and they continue to do that, and that's a great program. It saved lots of lives. But the way the world is these days, this is just another type of training that you probably should have, because as we're going to talk about later on, the Las Vegas incident, one of the early findings in that incident, that there were many people, I heard the number as high as 13 to 15, whose lives could have been saved had individuals on the scene had training and or the ability to stop bleeding in a short period of time. And basically they bled to death because they weren't able to get to the proper type of medical attention.
Right, and the bleeding issue, you can bleed out in 3 minutes, and it doesn't matter how fast EMS responds unless you have a way to stop that. When they get there, if you're already gone, it's too late. And so that's what this class is. One of the things that's covered in this class, in addition to how to do that assessment and what order you need to check things in and then how to go about doing it, you'll even have the opportunity to use one of these combat application tourniquets. We have some training versions of those, which are exactly the same as the others, a different color, and they've been used before. So obviously it's not something you'd want to use in a real life situation unless that was the only thing around. But in order for you to find out just exactly what sort of force you need to put on a limb in order to stop the blood circulation, until you've tried it, both on yourself and for someone else, you really don't understand what that takes. And I'm having been through the last class, that was an eye-opener for me. I've had lots of first aid training before. This is the first time I'd actually put on a tourniquet. And number one, you're not going to want to leave it on for very long. It's pretty uncomfortable. But number two,
unless you're bleeding to death.
Well, unless you're bleeding to death, exactly. But in the training scenario, you're not. So we don't actually cause the wound as part of the training. So once you get it on there and you feel what it's like to have that blood stop, you're going to want to get it off pretty readily. But it's fantastic training, and if this is something you've not had, it's very valuable.
And real quick before we go to the break, if this is interesting to you, please visit our website, look at the description, and understand that the class is being taught by an emergency room attending physician who is one of the leaders in this particular area of emergency medicine. He does a great job going over all issues related to handling these kinds of traumatic injuries.
All right, we're going to take our first break for the hour. If you'd like to get in on the discussion, give us a call at 457-1290. We'll get you up on the board. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Dayton and Springfield Station for 24-hour news, weather, and traffic. And our Ask the Expert weekends. AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Everyone, Nancy here with my great friend Christian Hahn of Joseph Airport Toyota Hyundai. Everybody knows you as Christian Hahn. You're always in the showroom if folks want to stop by and say hi. But you're also known as the yes man, aren't you?
I love to say yes. Yes to easy financing. Yes to great vehicles, great selection. Of course, the ease of doing business. I want to say that again.
Yes.
In any event, we're having a big sale, huge sale, and it covers our pre-owned vehicles, not just the new Toyotas and Hyundais. And these, most of these cars have a lifetime powertrain warranty. They have a free oil change.
Ooh.
Your first oil change is free, so you get to know our service department because we have great service departments. Now, what does a lifetime powertrain warranty cover? Engine, drivetrain, and transmission. Yes, we've been doing this since 2013. Our customers love it. So come out and see us today or go to josephairporttoyota.com or airhyundai.com and look at a great selection of pre-owned vehicles.
Great deals are going on now during Menards Red Hot Sale. Give your kitchen a new look with big savings on stylish Cardell Concepts kitchen cabinets. Right now, they're all 10% off. A kitchen of Lanston white shaker-style cabinets that include five base and seven wall cabinets is only $1,411. Save on Cardell Concepts kitchen cabinets and more. Good through August 4th, now during Menards Red Hot Sale.
Save big money at Menards.
Bills bogging you down? Credit card rates sky high? Daymet Credit Union is now offering a low-rate credit card of only 6.9% non-variable. That means the rate doesn't change. Visit daymetcu.com or call toll-free 1-800-551-0044 to apply today.
New non-variable interest rate credit card is 6.9% for qualified borrowers. Other card programs available to qualified consumers.
Daymet Credit Union, partnering with our members to enrich their financial well-being.
If you served in the military, you may be eligible for health care benefits at the Dayton VA Medical Center. These are benefits you've already earned through your military service. Regardless of when or where you served, you may be eligible. To apply, just call us at 937-956-0770. Visit our website at dayton.va.gov or just walk into the Dayton VA Medical Center and ask for assistance at the front desk. The Dayton VA Medical Center. You served us. Now let us serve you.
For today, we're warming up to 90 degrees for a high temperature, mostly sunny, and just a very small chance for an isolated shower popping up. The heat index for today topping off near 95 degrees. Overnight tonight, clearing out, mild and muggy once again with a low around 70 and warm tomorrow as well. I'm meteorologist Jesse Mag on the Miami Valley Severe Weather Station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
It's our Ask the Experts weekend on the Miami Valley Radio Station with breaking news, weather, and traffic, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. Let's jump out to our phones and talk to Doug, who's calling from Kettering. Doug, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, Mark. I wanted to point out I took the, second time in some years, the handgun three move and shoot last week, and I came away with some points that I wanted to share. The first is that these courses always point out that training driven with immediate feedback from Jeff or one of the other instructors is definitely not the same thing as self-training or dry fire practice. And also, as I always discover at these courses and was pointed out to me last Thursday, was that over time you can develop bad habits and actions that are less than what you would want to have if you ever needed them in a real-world situation. And then just lastly, I have to say to everybody on the radio just how fortunate we are to have the level of training and capability that's available at SimTrainer and a few other places in this area. And thank you.
Doug, thank you very much for those comments. While I have you on the phone, let me just ask you, and I know we discussed a variety of different things, but what were the two things? You mentioned that static training, dry fire training can only take you so far, but what were the two things, having gone through the class before, coming back the second time, that you feel were most beneficial relative to coming back the second time and getting the training and then having a chance to practice that and kind of refine your skills? What were the two things that were most important for you?
basically pointing out things that you had self-learned that were taking you away from the idea or ideal, such as some of the training I had focused on for my defensive shooting was closer range with point shooting, which has became very obvious at a longer distance and on moving targets that we were doing Thursday night. I just couldn't do that without using the sights.
Yeah, and when you say longer distance,
things you just don't get without the feedback of a live trainer. You make mistakes that you do not realize you're doing.
And as you and so many other shooters find out, longer distance isn't really that long. Once you get to 12 to 15 feet and beyond, it's very difficult for most people to point shoot, and you almost have to at least get flash front sight picture in order to make a relatively accurate shot. Is that what you found yourself?
Oh, absolutely. And as you and all the good trainers point out, and those of us that have had multiple CHL licenses over the years must know, but unfortunately a lot of people don't know, is that the CHL training is not real-world training that you would really want. As the old saying goes, with great capability comes great responsibility. And if you're going to carry a gun, and God forbid, you pray you never get in a situation where you have to use it, the training that most people have is just not sufficient, as was proven to me again last Thursday.
Well, again, Doug, thank you very much for your call and your comments. It's it's kind of rewarding for us and satisfying for us when we have people who actually go through the training, who understand the breadth and depth of knowledge that we try to impart on people, because whether it's just shooting from the stall or taking a concealed carry class, and you said it best, we tell people right from the beginning, the main benefit of our concealed carry class is not about the shooting. Matter of fact, that's kind of that's what we have to do as part of the 8 hours that we have. But the biggest part of our concealed carry class is understanding the serious responsibility of owning, carrying, potentially using a gun, knowing when you can and can't carry, when you can and when you can't use your firearm in defense of yourself or another, as opposed to actually using the firearm. Now, we have people who come to concealed carry with full range of backgrounds, from fully experienced, they practice, they shoot, they train, to, in many cases, some people who it's the first time they've ever touched a gun. And we have to find that common ground to get people to a minimum level of competency. And quite frankly, there are several times when we've told people, we're not going to give you a certificate. You're going to have to come back and either have a private lesson or take a basic handgun class before we feel comfortable enough giving you a certificate indicating that you demonstrated competency in the use and handling of the firearm out on the range. So it's not beyond us doing that. Doesn't happen very often, because we do a pretty darn good training people and bringing them up to speed. But it's not also, we don't have a rubber stamp that we just go ahead and give them certificates just because they came to the class. But again, Doug brought up some very good points. And again, I want to thank him for those comments. And if you want additional training, Sim Trainer is the place to offer it. There aren't many places in southwestern Ohio that offer advanced training. We think we do one of the best jobs at doing it, and we can get you to a high level of competency in a short period of time.
Well, and we do mention in the course description for our concealed carry class that this is not a shooting class. You're expected to know how to properly and safely handle your firearm, to be able to do the things that you need to do with it, to load it and charge it safely, to clear it safely. We do cover all of those things, of course, but you'll be much more comfortable in the concealed carry class if you've already had some training. Our basic handgun is a great way to do that. And then you have also identified the firearm that you intend to carry, because that's the best gun to use for the class as well. So those are some of the things that we mentioned, and I don't think we can say it enough, because there's people that always say, well, you know, you really should tell people they need to learn how to shoot before they come to this class. That's absolutely true, and we do say that in the course description.
And we also say that when we explain to people when they walk in, we make it very clear that this is not a class on where you learn to shoot. This is a class when we have to focus on what the state mandates that we cover. And there's a lot of material, quite frankly, that we have to cover. We have to spend at least 2 hours on the range. And people think, well, you know, 2 hours on the range. And there are some people who are legitimately, and it's not as big a percentage as most people think, who are experienced shooters who do a lot of shooting. They think, boy, this is boring. But again, we have to train to the least common denominator. When people come to that, we got to get everybody through that 2 hours on the range in an orderly fashion and try to get them to a minimum level of competency.
And in most of our classes, where we have anywhere from 12 to 15 people in a class, even up to 20, it is 2 hours is moving pretty quickly to get everybody through that and do everything that we want to do. So again, this is a great month to get signed up for both the basic handgun class and the concealed carry class, because you can buy one, get one free, get you and another person get signed up for both of those classes and make it easy. All right, we're going to take a break and head out to the news. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
This is the station Dayton turns to first for live team coverage of breaking news. WHIO Dayton Springfield. Your news starts now. Depend on it.
Fox News Radio, I'm Debbie Handley. President Trump at a rally tonight in Ohio for Republican congressional candidate Troy Balderson, who is locked in a tight race.
It is a get-out-the-vote endorsement event for Republican Troy Balderson. Vice President Mike Pence was in Ohio earlier this week to campaign for Balderson. He's a state senator running for Ohio's 12th congressional district. It's a district that's been an easy win for Republicans in the past.
Fox's Rick Leventhal. Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii delivered the Democratic address claiming Republicans are undermining health care.
We Democrats believe that health care is a right, and we believe that everyone should be able to get the care that they need no matter where they live or what their economic situation is. People should not be punished for being sick.
President Trump praising unemployment numbers in his weekly address. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Hey everyone, it's Nancy here with my great friend Christian Hahn of Joseph Airport Toyota Hyundai in Vandalia. So Christian, I know we're still in the middle of 2018, but you're thinking next year already, aren't you?
Absolutely. The 2018s need to go. Therefore, at Joseph Airport Hyundai and Toyota, we're doing our clearance now. In August, I have about 450 new Toyotas and Hyundais that we have to clear out with great deals so that we can make room for the 2019s. It's going to be a great month. People who want a great deal need to go to josephairporttoyota.com or airhyundai.com or visit us in our showroom. Either way, you're going to get a great deal.
So I was looking online myself, and you have a huge variety.
It is awesome because we have loads of Sonatas, Santa Fes, Elantras, Camrys, lots of Camrys, lots of RAV4s and Highlanders, all the popular models and trims. They're priced to go at josephairporttoyota.com and airhyundai.com. Come in today.
We will never fully understand what we've asked of our military service members, of their families, or their children. Asking them to deploy, patrol, stay on watch, on point. Asking them to put themselves in harm's way, to endure it all. But we do understand that it's our turn, our duty, to bring them all the way home, to keep them secure, to have their backs for the rest of their lives. Wounded Warrior Project long-term support programs do whatever it takes to help our most severely ill or injured veterans live independently, at no cost, for life, so that they might stand at ease. Find out how you can help at findwwp.org.
For today, we're warming up to 90 degrees for a high temperature, mostly sunny, and just a very small chance for an isolated shower popping up. The heat index for today topping off near 95 degrees. Overnight tonight, clearing out, mild and muggy once again with a low around 70, and warm tomorrow as well. I'm meteorologist Jesse Mag on the Miami Valley Severe Weather Station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
This is Clark Howard. If breaking news happens, we break in anytime.
WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. If you want to get in on today's show, please call us here at the studio at 457-1290. We'd be more than glad to talk with you. I mentioned at the top of the show that there were several incidents that we wanted to talk about. And just yesterday, the after-action report from the Las Vegas shooting from last year was released. I obviously haven't had time. I didn't even know it was released. Mark shared it with me. I haven't had time to review it. But the one thing that I wanted to talk about today that I think is relevant to a lot of the conversation relative to the gun control people is that the finding was that at least 12 of the 14 to 17 guns that were recovered were bump stock converted. As a matter of fact, it appears based on preliminary review of the guns that were fired, or that at least they could tell had been fired from the subsequent investigation, the overwhelming majority of the 1,057 shell casings that were fired were in fact fired from the bump stock converted firearms. And as we've mentioned so many times, the bump stock does enable an individual who is familiar with the functional operation of a bump stock that's been applied to a firearm to fire rounds in a little bit more rapid fashion than if they were just randomly or using semi-automatic one trigger press, one round fired sequencing. And it's going to be less than if it was a fully automatic firearm. Understand that up to this point, bump stocks were legal to purchase. They're legal to put onto firearms, and they were legal to fire in recreational situation. And as far as we know, from what we can tell, and believe me, if there were other incidents, we'd know about them. But this is the only incident where a bump stock converted weapon was knowingly used in the commission of the criminal act. So right after this, there were calls across the country for the abolishing of bump stocks and making them illegal and the confiscation and the whole nine yards. And I think that was premature. Even after this report has come out, it wouldn't have mattered if he used illegally obtained fully automatic or legally obtained semi-automatic, or in this case, the bump stock converted weapons. He could have done just about as much damage from the vantage point he had and the number of guns he had and the target-rich environment that was available to him with the people that were kind of corralled in that particular venue where they were listening to that concert.
I think that's probably one of the main factors. And although the rate of fire was higher than you would normally expect from a semi-automatic weapon, the level of accuracy is going to be remarkably less. The bump stock is fun to shoot. It's not what you use for any kind of precision shooting. It's certainly if you have specific target that you're trying to hit, putting a bump stock on, you're going to want to lock it in place and use the gun in the traditional semi-automatic fashion for it to be any sort of accurate. That was obviously not the case. In this case, he probably could have done it by just pulling the trigger rapidly and caused as much, if not more, damage. The point, though, is that arguing about the equipment is never going to get us to a solution, because that's not where the problem lies. The problem lies with someone who's completely lost it and is willing to do what's necessary to cause great harm to a large number of people, and to find a venue where he can get people in an enclosed space where it's difficult for them to escape and difficult for him to be taken out.
Yeah.
That is someone that showed tremendous amount of premeditation and was willing to do something. We still don't know why. They have not said why. They haven't been able to determine why. He didn't leave any sort of written document or any statement behind that said why he was doing this. And we may never know why. There were certainly some indications that he had some mental issues, but there is nobody that had ever indicated he had violence tendencies. So if we take and say, well, everybody who has ever had any sort of a mental instability is going to have to be restricted from having any access to their rights, whatever that might be,
There's been all kinds of supposition and all kinds of theories about what could have happened. There was allegations that he had suffered huge gambling losses in the time leading up to this situation, going through a breakup with a girlfriend, having problems there. There's nothing official that has at least been documented or that has been given as a likely motive. And the sheriff has even gone on record to say that that's something they'll continue to investigate. But at this point, There's nothing beyond what they already know and what they've already released. I notice here that this report is 187 pages, but so right here on the air, I'm going to assign Mark the responsibility of reading the whole 187 pages.
Nice
try. You well know, I'm going to peruse the document and pick and choose the things. So over the next several weeks, if we feel there's something that's relevant that needs to be discussed, we find out additional details, and there very likely will be. We will together bring that up, because I think that incidents like this, it's great. I think it's unfortunate that it's taken this long, almost a year, 10 months, for the after-action report to have been released, especially in this case where at least preliminary indication and now the after-action report seem to indicate there was only one suspect and he's dead on the scene. So there wasn't a whole lot more to investigate that way, but I'm not going to question law enforcement's motives in that case. It's a difficult proposition. There was a lot of analysis. There was a lot of evidence that had to be identified, then gathered at the scene. A lot of witnesses had to be interviewed. Family members had to be taken care of. Evidence had to be processed at the crime lab. So it is a painstakingly difficult and time-consuming process. But suffice it to say, the after-action report is out there. It's called the Criminal Investigative Report of the 1 October Mass Casualty Shooting in Las Vegas, Nevada. So I'm sure you can get access to it on the internet. I imagine that's where you found it, Mark.
Yeah, I found it actually at the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department website. I did a search for the name, and it came right up. So.
Yeah, the one thing I like about it, there's lots of pictures and lots of charts. That makes it real easy for me to gather information, especially relevant to what I was interested in and looking at the firearms that were present. Early on, some of the pictures had indicated that there were bipods that had been mounted on rifles. And I said from the beginning it would be extremely difficult, if not impossible, to fire bump stock converted weapons with a bipod, because that front end would be stationary. And now we see that only a couple of the M4 rifles, and there were, it looks like, between 15 and 17 M4 style rifles that were up there. Only a couple of them had, or a few of them, not just a couple, had bipods, but they did not have bump stocks on them. So, our initial assessment was correct. There were people who didn't have any knowledge what a bump stock was, and I would bet some of the people that came out against bump stocks thought that the bipods had something to do with the bump stocks, and they didn't understand the situation there. But that suffices to say, we know they're going to bark no matter what happens, whether or not they know about it. They're just going to come out in opposition. But we're going to take a look at this over the next several weeks, and if we feel there's additional information, we're going to report on it. And if you, which some of you are probably already looking it up online and starting to peruse through the information, if you have questions you want answered, we'll do the best we can. We can oftentimes, if you ask us the question and we put it in the context, we may not know the immediate answer. We'll find it for you. Or sometimes we can talk through logically some of the conclusions or some of the circumstances that were raised in this report. And we think it's important that we at least follow up on it at some point.
If you read through this report and you have some comments that you'd like to share with us, obviously you can call the show. But you can also go to our website at sim-trainer.com and click on the contact link and send us an email. That would actually probably be more advantageous for us to be able to do a little bit of research and to read up on whatever the question is that you have, so that we'd be more informed by the time we get to the air.
I think one question that I'd just like to hear the responses to is that, this being the only incident that we're aware of where bump stocks were used in criminal activity, does that warrant the all-out nationwide assault on doing away with bump stocks? I obviously have my feelings about it. Mark's already expressed his feelings about it. But if you have comments relative to that, we'd like to hear from you. You can either do that online or you can call us up here at the studio, and we'd be more than glad to discuss that.
Now, after today, we only have three more shows before the football season starts, and we'll have I think we'll have one show in the middle of the season
in late September.
Right, when they'll be, when the Flyers are going to be in San Diego, so it's a late game. But that means that there's not a whole lot more shows we have between now and Thanksgiving, really. So
we will do podcasts during that time like we did last year.
Excellent.
And we'll try to stay up on that, and that'll make it very easy for us to continue communication.
So if you haven't yet signed up for and subscribed to our podcast, you can do that at sim-trainer.com/radio.
Another topic that I followed this last week, and again, I'm going to have to pretty much rely on Mark, and maybe some of you callers have expertise, but this debate over the
3D printed guns
relative to how it's going to be distributed, the limitations that are currently being placed, and some of the court cases that had been battled or been decided before the actual release. But Mark, let me just have you give our listening audience as quick as you can kind of an overview of what a 3D printed gun is and why there's discussion over it.
Well, all right. 3D printing, or sometimes referred to as additive manufacturing, allows you to use some sort of a polymer that typically melts under heat and then is deposited in a particular pattern that is computer controlled. So you have a computer controlled machine that moves the head around or moves the plate around underneath the head to then put the next bit of plastic in the proper place to create. It's basically created layer by layer by layer, and you end up with a whole unit of whatever. Now, there were a couple of plans that that Cody Wilson of Defense Distributed had posted online a few years ago. One was for a handgun called the Liberator. It's a pretty ineffective weapon in the sense that it is good for basically one shot only. Recommended replacing the barrel after every shot. It is not something that is, it's pretty bulky, so you'd be far better off using a typical firearm that's designed for concealed carry. But it is something that it is, it could be made and manufactured at home. Now, that is not really something new about firearms. Yes, a lot of the advanced weapons and the ones that we would typically carry are manufactured in fairly sophisticated facilities, manufacturing facilities. And they use some pretty high technology to create the guns, either injection molding for like the frame of the Glock, but then there's a lot of machining that's involved in hammer forging and so forth to create barrels and other components. This is a firearm you could make at home, but you could make a firearm at home out of just pipes and metals and nail, and that's been done repeatedly. It's pretty simple to do. They're going to be almost as effective as this, probably more effective than this, because they'll last for more rounds and probably more accurate. Now, the other device that was plans were for was for a plastic printed additive manufacturing AR-15 lower. So that is the portion of the firearm that is typically serial numbered. But more than that, it's also the portion of the firearm that doesn't really do anything except hold the magazine and hold the hammer and the trigger system. All of the actual firing portion is in the upper. That's where the chamber is. That's where the bolt carrier group slides. That the only part of any of that has anything to do with the lower is the buffer. So the buffer tube is usually attached to the lower, as is the stock. But all of the parts that make the gun a gun are in the upper. Now, why the ATF has decided that the lower has to be serialized and treated as a gun, but the upper does not, who knows what those kind of rationales are. But the bottom line here is, just because you've been able to spend probably a couple of days on a high-quality printer, a 3D printer, producing this AR-15 lower, it really doesn't mean a whole lot, except that now you've got what some people like to call a ghost gun, a gun that doesn't have a serial number, that's legal for you to own because you made it. It's not legal for you to transfer it to anyone, but then you have this, and it still won't work until you put metal parts in it that are able to contain all the pressures and so forth, and to send the bullet down range. So
I'm sure glad you clarified that for our audience and me, Mark, because I sat there for hours trying to figure out how I could take five or six pieces of paper and put them in a printer and make this object that you're describing.
It is a slightly different type of printer.
There was no way that could happen. Anyway, the techno people, I'm sure, understand it. It looked intriguing. I didn't think it was going to be problematic, because once you start putting metal parts into that plastic shell, that would be detectable from under any of the modern day detection equipment. The only issue that I see that would be possibly of concern is that in the case of an AR lower, those are serialized. Many of the people who actually are in the business of manufacturing AR lowers today are required to put serial numbers on those, and those have to be transferred just like any other firearm through an authorized dealer, where an individual has to complete the 4473 and undergo the background check if they haven't already had the background check, like in Ohio, if they have their CHL relative since 2015. But they still have to go through that process.
But if you have the machining skills, you could already make an AR-15 lower out of metal, and it wouldn't have a serial number on it.
If you have machining skills, you can make a whole gun.
Exactly. And so that's, I mean, so what this does is make it slightly simpler to make a gun that's not as good as one that you could make in a machine shop.
So, Mark, before we go to the break, why all the hubbub?
Partly because a lot of people don't understand what it is they're talking about, and partly because they, for some period of time, it was restricted from being available online because it was considered something that couldn't be exported. That was technology not to be exported. And that's been changed, and that's the big difference in the change, and that's what was stopped by the court decision. All right, we're going to take our last break for the hour. If you'd like to weigh in on this, go ahead and give us a call at 457-1290, and we'll get you into the last few minutes of the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
It's an Ask the Experts weekend on Dayton and Springfield's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Sim Trainer is the Dayton area's premier indoor shooting range and firearms training facility. Sim Trainer is a members-only facility featuring 10 individual shooting stalls and a mechanical target retrieval system. Their range is also climate-controlled for your year-round comfort. Sim Trainer offers both pay-as-you-go and year-long individual and family memberships. They're also proud to offer reduced-rate memberships for law enforcement and military. Need training? Sim Trainer holds unique and innovative firearms training courses, including the award-winning First Shots program, a concealed carry course, and an advanced five-course handgun series. Sim Trainer is open Monday through Sunday. Check the website, sim-trainer.com, to find out more, or call 293-3914. Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's premier indoor shooting range and firearms training facility, 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine, just across from DPNL. Online at sim-trainer.com.
Great deals are going on now during Menards' Red Hot Sale. Update your kitchen with custom-crafted laminate countertop in 10-edge styles in over 90 colors, or high-resolution laminate countertop in 10-edge styles in over 50 colors. On sale now. Plus, save an additional $3 a lineal foot after rebate. Save big on custom-crafted laminate and high-resolution laminate countertop. Good through August 4th. Now, during Menards' Red Hot Sale.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Rick Moody, your commercial real estate connection for the Dayton region. For leasing, buying, selling of office, retail, industrial, or warehouse space, contact me at Coldwell Banker Commercial Heritage. This is Rick Moody. I am your place for space.
For today, we're warming up to 90 degrees for a high temperature, mostly sunny, and just a very small chance for an isolated shower popping up. The heat index for today topping off near 95 degrees. Overnight tonight, clearing out, mild and muggy once again with a low around 70, and warm tomorrow as well. I'm meteorologist Jesse Mag on the Miami Valley Severe Weather Station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
The Miami Valley's only radio station for 24-hour breaking news, weather, and traffic. AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. And we know you have a few minutes left. And Mark, I want to thank you for that little overview, because it's for people like me who aren't very technical oriented. That was the whole concept is fascinating. It's intriguing. I had misconceptions. And the point I want to make here is, it's the misconceptions and misinformation, not even knowing the potentiality or the use, that people just reacted to, right, and started saying, oh my God, I remember there were quotes from people who should know better, prominent congressmen who talked about how they're going to be able to get through metal detectors in airports. They're going to be on every flight from here to there. They're going to be on ocean liners. They're going to be, you know, taken by criminals who can't otherwise have guns, and they're going to get guns. Let's face it, the criminals that want guns are getting them today. I thought it was interesting that a significant number of people in Chicago are now starting to take an official stance. They want Rahm Emanuel's head, not literally, maybe, but not literally, but figuratively. They want him out of office. He's been in office enough. Their basic premises that he's done nothing to help them, and he's certainly He's done nothing to help the violence that is running rampant in the city of Chicago, and they want changes. And people even came right out and said, we don't care who the changes are brought about by. We want changes in the positive direction, but we know the current administration ain't getting it done, so we want them out of here. So that's something that's interesting, because that hasn't happened a long time. People have pretty much fallen in line and just kind of let the big machine politics be as they are in Chicago. But I think people have had enough, and this is going to force a change.
Let me say one more thing about the 3D printing guns. One of the arguments that people have made is that if you've got a gun that's made out of plastic, it's going to be undetectable. Well, in the first place, there are still some metal parts. At the very least, the cartridge itself is going to have metal parts, unless you're shooting a plastic bullet, which I suppose if you shot it with enough energy, it could be dangerous. But, I mean, we're talking airsoft at that point. But there is already a law on the books that prohibits the possession of an undetectable firearm. It's the Undetectable Firearms Act of 1988. And so if you have one of these and it's completely undetectable, then you're already violating the law. So having a 3D printer that allows you to print something that, number one, is not really undetectable, and number two, is really not that effective. In fact, it's cheaper to go out and buy one than it is to pay for all the materials and the printer and so forth if you're just going to make one. It's much cheaper to buy a gun. And if you're not going to buy a gun legally, it's a whole lot faster to go steal one than it would be. And that's where the most of them come from anyway.
And Mark, your explanation just adds more meat to the argument that these people who are making the allegations that's going to create problems and add to more crime, what you just said, in addition to what you explained earlier, just shows how ridiculous misinformation and lack of information is. They don't care about accuracy. They don't care about verification. They get a feeling about something and they run with it, because it used to be they had a bunch of followers who just blindly listened and followed. There's not so many these days. I think people, as a result of shows like this, shows around the country, and just a general education of a significant proportion of the population, they're saying, wait a minute, we don't believe everything you say anymore. You're going to have to provide some evidence. And when you make idle claims, you're going to have to substantiate it. And in this case, they can't. They can't substantiate the claims. They can't get anybody who can counter the arguments you just made about the illegality and the way these things are going to be used illegally in our society.
But it doesn't matter that they can't, because
right.
You can't logic someone out of a conclusion that they came to based on emotion. And that's what all of these arguments are. They're based on emotion. They have these strong feelings about how evil they are. It was, I believe, the late Charles Krauthammer who repeatedly said that the conservatives tend to believe that the liberals are wrong, and the liberals believe the conservatives are evil, which is part of the reason why they feel justified in doing anything. And there's a demonstration going on at NRA headquarters today. They're basically trying to get rid of the NRA, as if the NRA is the problem. And whether they realize it or not, the fact that that demonstration continues on for as long as it has is proof that we're not the problem. Because if we were, trust me, there are more than enough people at the NRA headquarters who would be able to stop that from happening. But because we're not the violent people, we're not the ones who are going to go out there and use firearms in a way to stop someone else's free speech, even in the case, as in this case, where they're probably on private property and they have no right to be there. They could be arrested for trespassing. But rather than raise that question, they're out there with all kinds of news media backing them up and showing all their stories. And they're making the fallacy of their own point becomes readily obvious by the fact that they're able to do what they're doing.
And I feel strongly their followers are becoming fewer and fewer, because more and more people are starting to realize the ridiculousness of their actions, the inappropriateness of their actions, and the fact that there is no logical, thought-through basis for what they're doing.
And it's one of the reasons why they have to stage a huge event like this to get any attention at all, because when you look at the actual numbers, the numbers are on our side. And when we're now over 6 million members of the NRA, I think that's a shame that there's only 6 million. If we've got somewhere between 80 and 100 million gun owners in this country, there ought to be at least a zero on the end of that.
Yes.
And if you're not a member of the NRA, or you have been at some point in the past and it's time for you to renew, go to our website at sim-trainer.com. On the homepage, down at the bottom, there's a Join NRA link. The rates may have gone up as of this week, so I'm not sure.
But even at that, it's not significant. It's a great way to contribute. With this being an election year, this is a great year to get involved, to let your dollars go to work for positive things. Mark mentioned we're only going to be on the air for a few more weeks. We've got a big election coming up in 2016. We'll keep you connected that way, but you can get connected because they send out regular emails to kind of keep you in the loop with a lot of the major political issues relative to gun owners.
And I just went out to our link, and if you click on it, it's still $30. So that's the what it costs to do that. All right, thanks very much for being part of the show today. We're going to have to turn this over to the News Center. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.